This morning I want us to look at a lesson that I simply call Jesus, a Man of Prayer, and to kind of illustrate how important prayer is to our life of worship and service to God. There's a story told of two lumberjacks, an older and a younger, both known for their expertise and their speed. The younger one challenged the older to a contest to see who could cut down the most trees in one day. Well, the contest began. The younger man, with his vigor and vitality, began in earnest, chopping down one tree after another without stopping. He soon noticed, though, that the older lumberjack chopped trees for 1 hour, then took a 15-minute break. Well, at the end of the day, when the felled trees were counted, the older lumberjack had chopped down a third more trees than the younger one. Well, the younger one was puzzled, so he asked the older one, "How could you, taking a break every hour, cut down more trees than I did, and I didn't stop all day?" The older lumberjack responded, "Because when I stopped, I sharpened my axe." Sharpened my axe. Now, sometimes we're like that. Sometimes we're like that. We kind of spend our time chopping away at the Lord's work, and we don't accomplish as much as we could because we've got a dull axe. We've got a dull axe. And if we don't take the time to pray for our efforts and for our service, we shouldn't expect God to bless those efforts. So we do need to have a sharpened axe. As James wrote in James chapter 2, "You have not because you ask not." So this morning it is vital that we see and that we follow the example of our Lord. And there's three particular areas I want to focus on this morning. We could certainly spend hours looking at His prayer life, but there's three areas in particular that I think we need to focus on. Number one, Jesus prayed at those critical moments in His life. Let's look at a few of those. In Luke chapter 3, and we're going to be following Luke's account of His life primarily, so you'll want to leave your Bibles open to Luke's account. In Luke chapter 3, at Jesus' baptism, Luke chapter 3, beginning in verse 21, Luke records, "When all the people were baptized, it came to pass that Jesus also was baptized. And while He prayed, the heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit descended in bodily form like a dove upon Him. And a voice came from heaven which said, 'You are My beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.'" What was Jesus doing when this happened? Praying. Certainly His baptism was one of those critical moments in His life, as was the time when He chose the 12 apostles. In Luke chapter 6, beginning in verse 12, we see Jesus doing just that very thing. Luke chapter 6, verse 12 and following says, "Now it came to pass in those days that He went out to the mountain to pray, and continued all night in prayer to God. And when it was day, He called His disciples to Himself, and from them He chose 12, whom He also named apostles." The next day He was going to choose those 12 men who were going to be His closest followers for the next 3 years. Some of whom would write certain parts of the New Testament. This was a critical moment in His life. And what does He do the night before? He goes out into a mountain so He can be completely alone and spends the night in prayer. If Jesus needed to spend that much time in prayer, then certainly He set an example for us to do likewise. In Luke chapter 9, Peter made that great confession about who Jesus was. And in Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 18 and following, we see what happened. Luke chapter 9, verse 18, "And it happened as He was alone praying that His disciples joined Him, and He asked them, saying, 'Who do the crowd say that I am?' So they answered and said, 'John the Baptist, but some say Elijah, and others say that one of the old prophets has risen again.' He said to them, 'But who do you say that I am?' Peter answered and said, 'The Christ of God.'" What was He doing before this happened? He was alone praying. Then His disciples joined Him. He was alone praying. Jesus spent so much time in prayer, especially when important events were about ready to take place in his life. In that same chapter, at his transfiguration, Luke chapter 9, beginning in verse 28. Now it came to pass about 8 days after these sayings that he took Peter, John, and James and went up on the mountain to pray. As he prayed, the appearance of his face was altered and his robe became white and glistening. And behold, two men talked with him who were Moses and Elijah. Notice a lot of these things happened while he was praying. That's what happened here. While he was praying, this all began to happen. At his transfiguration. In the Garden of Gethsemane. In that sad occasion before his betrayal in Luke chapter 22. Beginning in verse 44. We know he's in the garden with some of his disciples, some of his close disciples. Beginning in verse 44, it says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, 'Why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation.'" Not only was this a trying time for him, it was a critical time for those disciples as well. He's about to be betrayed by Judas. There he is in the garden, and of course this long series of events which would end with him dying on the cross, he's there in the garden. He knows what's going to happen. He knows exactly what's going to happen. He knows about his trials. He knows about the beatings. He knows about the crucifixion. He knows about the betrayal. He knows all of that is going to happen. How does he strengthen himself? Well, in the same way that he tells his disciples. Pray. Pray. Sharpen your axe. And then, of course, on the cross, we know the prayers that he had on the cross in Luke chapter 23, verse 34, is the first one, or the first one that we have here. He's on the cross. Then Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do." They do not know what they do. So he's praying to the Father that he would forgive them. And then, of course, the last thing he says on the cross is a prayer to the Father. Verse 46. "And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' Having said this, he breathed his last." What do we learn from Jesus' example? We learn that at all times when we have something very important, an important decision, some critical moment in our lives, we must, just like Christ, spend time talking to the Father, praying to the Father about this event. Whether it's allowing us to make good decisions, helping us to make wise decisions, helping us to not succumb to temptation, helping us to go through struggles and trials. We need to follow Jesus' example. He prayed at all of those critical moments in his life. He was setting an example for his disciples. He was setting an example for us as well. We shouldn't expect these important events in our lives to turn out well if we don't pray. Jesus knew the importance of prayer. He knew the importance of praying for wisdom. He knew the importance for praying for strength. So should we. The second thing we see from Jesus' example of his prayer life was that he often communed with his Father. At the very beginning, I know we were going to stay in Luke most of the time, but there's a couple of passages in Mark I want us to read. In Mark chapter 1, Mark records something about the very beginning of Jesus' ministry. The very beginning of his ministry. In Mark chapter 1, verse 35, Mark records, "Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed." What about that passage strikes you? Well, there's a number of things that strikes me about that passage. First of all, he gets up long before daybreak. Long before daybreak. Now, if we look at a typical Jewish person's life in the first century, they typically had certain times of the day that they prayed. But this wasn't one of them. They wouldn't get up long before daybreak and pray. This was unusual for a Jewish person in the first century to do. But Jesus knew how important this communing time was. So he gets up long before daybreak, and what does he do? It says he goes out and departs to a solitary place. Basically, the word solitary means deserted. To a deserted place, and there he prayed. Why deserted? So there'd be no distractions. No distractions. That's why he would often go to places where no one else was, so no one would distract him. He needed to spend large amounts of time praying, being in communion with God. Well, he set us an example. We certainly need to as well. We need to spend time, lots of time, as much time as we can, communing with the Father. After feeding the 5,000 in Mark chapter 6, we notice he does something very similar. Mark chapter 6, verse 46. He had just fed the 5,000. And in verse 45, immediately he made his disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, to Bethsaida, while he sent the multitude away. And when he had sent them away, he departed to the mountain to pray. It's kind of like he sent the multitude away in one direction. He sent the disciples on a boat in the other direction. And what does he do? He goes to the mountain to pray by himself. Solitary, he's alone, no distractions. So he can spend that time with the Father. He knew how important it was. He knew the necessity, the need for it. So that's what he does. Notice Luke's remark in Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Luke chapter 5, verses 15 and 16. Luke records, however, the report went around concerning him all the more, and great multitudes came together to hear and to be healed by him of their infirmities. So he himself often withdrew into the wilderness and prayed. Into the wilderness, into the deserted place, into the place where no one else was. He's setting us an example. He's telling us that these times alone, these times without distractions, are essential to our lives as disciples. Praying. He showed us that we need to pray, especially spend much time in prayer before all those important events in our lives, but also he's telling us that we need to be or have places where we can go without being distracted. So we can spend real time praying to him. And of course, that can be different places for different people. But he told us, he showed us, it's important. So we need to commune with the Father. When it's quiet, when there's no distractions, whenever we can. Because there's where our strength comes. There's where our power comes. Jesus taught a lot of things about prayer. He taught about the persistence that's needed in praying. In Luke chapter 11, Jesus told this account. In Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 5, he says, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey and I have nothing to set before him. And he'll answer from within and say, do not trouble me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed, I cannot rise and give to you. I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he's his friend, yet because of his persistence he will rise and give him as many as he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, receives, and he who seeks, finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Those are all present tense commands, imperatives in the original language in verses 9 and 10. So I say to you, keep on asking. We can also translate it, don't stop asking. Don't stop seeking. Don't stop knocking. Continue. He said that's the point of that account. Persistence. Persistence is rewarded in prayer. Persistence is rewarded in prayer. Keep on asking, you'll receive. Keep on seeking, you will find. Keep on knocking, and it'll be open to you. But you must keep on. You must be persistent. Praying is not about doing it once and forgetting about it. He says persistence is important. So is vigilance. In Luke chapter 18, he taught about the need for vigilance. In Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 1, then he spoke a parable to them that men always ought to pray and not lose heart, saying, there was in a certain city a judge who did not fear God nor regard man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him, saying, get justice for me from my adversary. And he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Then the Lord said, hear what the unjust judge said. And shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he really find faith on the earth? It's interesting here that he connects vigilance and prayer with faithfulness. He says, will they really find faith on the earth when he comes back? Why there? Because he connects it with people who are persistent and vigilant in praying. Certainly the lesson is that one thing that is absolutely essential to our future faithfulness is our praying now. Pray and pray and pray. Because that prayer will help keep you faithful. And that connection, that relationship is vital for every Christian. If we expect to remain faithful, we must be people of prayer. That's what he teaches us. And finally, he teaches the necessity of self-control. In Luke chapter 22, beginning in verse 39, we have this account. Coming out, he went to the Mount of Olives, as he was accustomed, and his disciples also followed him. When he came to the place, he said to them, pray that you may not enter into temptation. And he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw, and he knelt down and prayed, saying, Father, if it's your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. Then an angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. Then his sweat became like great drops of blood falling down to the ground. When he rose up from prayer and had come to his disciples, he found them sleeping from sorrow. Then he said to them, why do you sleep? Rise and pray, lest you enter into temptation. Notice he said it twice. He said it twice. God's people need that prayer. They need to be in constant prayer for strength. He says, so you won't yield to temptation. Prayer makes you stronger. So if Jesus said and told them, pray that you enter into temptation, then it's necessary for us. We need to pray that we won't give in to, yield to temptation. We need to pray that we'll be successful in passing through life's difficulties and life's sufferings and life's trials. Jesus said that is something to pray for. Since we are all tempted every day, Jesus was tempted. There's nothing wrong with being tempted. It's the yielding, it's the submitting, it's the giving in. He says, pray that you won't. Pray that you'll have strength not to yield to temptation. Pray that you won't give up when trials come. Pray for strength. Jesus is the supreme example of what a man of prayer is to be like. And we should follow his example. Praying at all of those critical moments in our lives, those important events, make sure we spend much time in praying to God. We need to find places where we are not distracted so that we can spend quiet time in communing with him, wherever that might be. And learn the lessons that he taught about persistence in prayer, vigilance in prayer, and self-control in prayer. And follow his example. It will make all the difference in the world. My prayer life needs work. Maybe yours does too. Probably all of us need to improve our prayer lives. Well, all we have to do is look at Jesus' example. And he shows us what a man of prayer is all about. This morning, there may be someone in the audience who has never named the name of Christ, who's never experienced that new birth by coming up out of the waters of baptism, a new creature. There may be some in the congregation that are in need of prayers. They need strength. And they would encourage others to pray for them. But if there's a need for you to respond, then we want you to do so as we stand and sing this song.